Is that a you can't cut where you're not on situation?
You're still in the intro. That great grammar.
It's Grim After Dark. We ruin the intro every week, so why not just ruin it this week?
Oh, buddy. Dickie is feeling feelings today. Welcome to Grim After Dark. Slightly late, but always on time.
I like the offset.
Oh, you like that?
My name is John. And I'm here to misinform and entertain as we talk about the goings on over the last week in the world of Games Workshop. This week, we look at another comment that calls us left-wing trash without even checking to see if we pay for the blue check mark on Twitter first. Frontline updates its code of conduct in the wake of Cherokee Gate. I make the guys guess what the Spiky Bits article is actually about, and we see how they do as metalheads and an all-new Price is Redacted. Before we go on, though, let's meet the team who make it all possible. First up, it's the co-host with the co-most, all the way from Moscow, Idaho. He puts the T in RTT. He's our competitive champion and our casual runner-up, our very own best in show, Daniel J. McDevitt, Esquire III.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome. And back from a long sabbatical, looking beautiful as ever, he's the beautiful face of everything square-based. He's a fantasy enthusiast and a 40K denier. Toronto, well, half a finger.
Let's go! The I'm music. Back!
So good. The music and energy just really didn't.
Really fit, high.
Though. Yeah, it was.
Guys, I've been sleeping for 3 weeks. I'm ready.
Amazing. Our very own Silent King. And finally, he's the man behind the Iron Curtain of Canada. He's the Canuck with a Took, probably. Canadian coach and American sympathizer, Tech Priest Dickie.
Hi.
Guys, how are you?
Thanks, Eeyore.
Val, it's been a long time.
Wait.
You know, you didn't have to also not do the show for the last 3 weeks. I mean, you could have kept doing it.
Many of our viewers said we didn't.
That's true. <Yep.
laughs> we're going to get to that in a little bit. But I mean, it's a good week for you to come back on, Val, because This week's comment of the week specifically calls you out for our left-leaning awfulness. Well, we're going to put this up on screen here real quick, but I am going to have to read a little bit because, good God.
Really small.
That's very, very small. Very small.
A lot of text.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot
is that
of
a text. YouTube comment, John?
It is a YouTube comment, yes.
Wonderful.
I didn't screenshot it from my phone, which is the main problem here. But it says here, I was somewhat liking the show, which again is the first red flag, until I saw this episode with Val stupidly saying Space Marines and the Imperium are fascists like all the other ignorant, clearly lefty dopes, as if the only form of authoritarianism is fascism, and then acts like there are no woke BS in the hobby space.
Ooh.
I mean, there's literally Nazi troopers. There's definitely like BS in the hobby space.
I'm just gonna say that if you are like quibbling over the flavor of your authoritarianism, you are totally a fucking fascist.
By the way, Orthodox monks who left this comment here, please don't comment or watch your stuff. I will just delete the comments in future. As fun as the paragraphs are, but the Imperium is a plain as day monarchy on a galactic scale.
Okay. More like a regency, really. I mean, like, you don't have a living monarch, for one thing. I mean, that's kind of an essential thing for
like
a monarchy.
The British monarchy, where they have, like, the figurehead on top, but it's really just, like, a democracy because, like, the houses of parliament underneath.
It's called a constitutional monarchy. It's similar to the system we have in Canada.
You guys are aiming
way. They don't have a constitution.
This is obviously just, like, an absentee landlord situation, right?
So the emperor of mankind in the spare time is just painting white paint over outlets and stuff like that, just to
that's
get
how
to
he
code.
Plans to fix chaos, John.
I've seen someone be like, the Rainbow Warriors chapter only had 2 pages lore, so I came up with my own when making models, then proceed to post Ligbit Space Marines instead of actually coming up with something original. I will say in this defense, I think Rainbow Warriors, Space Marines, and Hobby Space is popularized by Louis Sugden, who did a whole bunch of videos on them. And all of the Marines I've seen in LGBT colors have never been called Rainbow Warriors by anyone making them. Maybe. I'm tired of this crap in our Warhammer space.
Oh, that's Too bad. This is our Warhammer space, though, so you can go fuck himself.
I mean, yeah, just don't be in the same space, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, it's a big internet. It's a big. I mean, he's got 17 subs. He's doing just fine, I think.
Look.
Yeah. So I put a nice long reply back explaining why I thought it was a fascistic and authoritarian space. His reply of 40K hasn't been satire for at least 20 years when GW really shaped the universe and decided to shift 40K into a more serious narrative. Danny, Val, how do you think this coincides with the 2021 post where GW said that it is a satirical universe?
Look, so I will generally, I won't try and have this both ways because I do agree with him. They did lose their sense of irony, I'd say, like in 1998 with the invention of the Grimdark. That does not change. I mean, the fact that the irony is now, I think, more on the people viewing it than necessarily the actual subject matter. But yeah, it's played a lot more straight than it used to be. I think that's very true.
What I take issue with here, I'm skipping a whole bit because, guys, there's a lot. If you want a fun time, I turned off commenting on the Terminator video. I can't take it anymore, but please go. Please view this. It's on the old world video of Grim After Dark.
Fantastic.
But it says the Imperium is more so a parody, which strong disagree because a parody is a comedic version of satire, which has to have a comedy element. Last time I checked, sacrificing thousands of lives a day is not very funny.
I mean, I think this guy might find it funny.
That's true.
It depends on the timing, John.
It uses a Western aesthetic and the Roman Catholic Church more as a parody basis for the ecclesiarchy. Not a parody. Because the game was made by Brits and not something like Greeks, Arabs, or Slavs. That's a very specific choice of people who didn't make it. Cherry picking some more here. Rights are arbitrary, so don't give me this modern crap about my rights, my liberty. Look at what the Eldar did with their rights and liberty. Danny, true or false, the Eldari are a real life species.
John, that depends on how you define real. Okay.
In an actual way.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Nor are these like young ideas, like natural law, like the philosophy behind natural law was like introduced in what, like the 1600s?
Yeah. Leviathan, like, baby.
Yeah.
And then my other favorite part here, racism does not exist in real life when humans are the only race. Val, what percentage chance that this poster is white?
I'm going to give you a 1,000% out of 100 on that one. I don't know, man. There's really no need to split hairs on the shit sandwich that would be life in the Imperium and the ensuing complete lack of personal freedoms or any autonomy. Mm-hmm. And it being a completely not admirable society to base anything else off of, which I think is the danger of what happened when they shifted from a clearly tongue-in-cheek satirical, very like hammer over the head, grounded in woke values, dickhead.
Yeah,
universe.
To the next slide. It's just a good background for this image, but please continue, Val.
But when you remove the clear irony, then you get people who then actually aspire to it because they think it's actually something that could be good, but it's not. It's never supposed to have been an example of something that is good. Space Marines are not supposed to be good guys. You know, this is not a positive example of human organization. I think that's kind of the point. It is a grim, dark future. It's not fucking Star Trek. It's not something we're supposed to look forward to.
But the next one I have here, we want to go down here. The reason why this comment resonated with me so much was this meme I saw here after watching Dune 2 at the weekend, which really I think encapsulates the entire 40K fan base. When Dickie goes down one slide.
Sorry. No, my head's not in the game today. Yep.
It's the Dune 1. I'm the protagonist in the audience being like, yes. And then the Dune 2. One
slide. Dickie's having a stroke.
There's no Dune here.
I think his camera is so dirty that he can't slide three.
Slide three is a Dune reference. You guys don't know. The reason Dickie isn't on camera isn't because he doesn't want his face associated with this. It's because his camera, we can't actually see through it.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. It's not only that. Like, it can be both things.
Yeah. But yeah, Dickie, I don't want to spoil Dune anymore for you. So it was like,
I really want to see it. I'm sure.
I really got to watch both of them. I haven't seen either.
They were fantastic, but there's something great about that wave of feeling in the theater when the theater starts realizing that someone maybe isn't a good person.
Yeah,
there we go. Beautiful. Ignore this stuff here that got copied in the bottom. But yeah, this is my, which I think was like a live action. There was a sense of confusion at the end, but that's okay. But that's all I wanted to talk about for that one there. Leave rage comments. They don't understand as Val, the thing you very correctly pointed out earlier. Why is that the thing you took issue with when we've said so much worse about so many other things?
Yes.
Maybe this person just stumbled upon the content farm that is Grim After Dark Incorporated. I don't know. But either way, probably not the show for you, bud.
No.
Mosey along.
With no sense of irony, go watch Arch's stuff. It's going to be right up your alley.
He says he does.
And then he was like, well, I do watch Arch, but he's mostly good for, I'm like, yeah, no, he's mostly good for exactly the things you're looking for. So like, well,
all right, good.
Go ahead and enjoy.
You're already in with the crowd that you're meant to be with. Let's move on to some state.
Can you imagine hearing Arch's voice and thinking to yourself, oh, this is good content. Immediately when you hear the guy start talking, like, how do you last 3 seconds? Like even long enough to be like, oh, this person agrees with my friggin' far right moral view. Like to even get that far, you have to just put up with whatever the hell accent he has.
In all honesty, Val, I don't know how people put up with our voice for any amount of time.
And on that note,
set a play.
God, good sound level.
Good, yeah, perfect.
That was bad, actually.
The ears, beautiful. Nice.
Do you know why that is? I think I have a theory. You see, when you lose one sense, your other sense.
So if my ears are smudged and dirty, then my eyesight becomes better.
Scientific fact, John. Yeah.
Scientific fact. Welcome to State of Play, the part of the show where we talk about the less fun parts of the Warhammer community going on. Not the memes, but the news, if it will. Can you tell I didn't write us a little piece for that? I sure could.
No, man. Fly without a net.
In the wake of someone's attempts to win the Cherokee Open using the subtle tactics of cheating, Frontline sent out some updates to their code of conduct. Mostly the two important ones here are elements of cheating, poor sportsmanship, and inappropriate behavior.
How about just don't let this particular person play? How many times does this have to happen? I don't understand.
Seven.
Yeah.
More
than six.
It's like Ferris Bueller's F nine times.
How many states? How many states need to like veto this guy before you can just like?
He's like the last. He's just like the last one. I don't know how he just freaking shapeshifts his way through things. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I assume it's been taken care of now.
Adam Solis and the Frontline Gaming judges. I know you sporadically watch this. If you could introduce a punch card system. Or frequent cheaters like a coffee hub. So every time they're caught cheating, you just like punch a card out.
Once you get your third cheat, you're banned.
Their 10th rules infraction, they just let go.
Maybe this time maybe he was just wearing one of those like the glasses with the nose and the mustache, and they just didn't know it was him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just say here, inappropriate behavior will be immediately penalized at FLG events. Prior offenders will be asked not to attend our events for a period of time at our discretion. Which goes, I think, you don't have to show an ID to get into Frontline events. So what is stopping the mustache-nose glasses combo?
Jesus!
I couldn't do it. It's not just me. What's to stop the...
Groucho Marx, got it.
Whew. Groucho Marx.
Oh. Are you guys struggling now, with that?
Of course.
Struggling with that. God,
I mean, of course, Marx, you know, a comedian named Marx is one of our favorites on this show.
No,
it must be. It couldn't be anything else for sure.
Oh, damn. Is that left or right leaning? It changes.
I don't know
where we are. Who knows?
Continuum, man.
And then hobby standards will be enforced at FLG events, and the traditional 3-color minimum will evolve to be the battle ready standard at events later this year. Guys, I thought this was a more interesting one of that. Danny, I know you've had experience at recent LVOs playing against armless orcs. And we've all, I think, been up against an airbrush special army where it's just been very quickly, I call it jizzed on by the airbrush, to reach three separate colors on there.
Very clever.
But what I worked on that for 2 weeks, workshopped it, and some really good bars. Got some really good feedback. But what are your guys' thoughts on these two changes? Aside from, of course, Jesus, it's just one person. Please just don't let him play anymore.
I don't understand how it took this long. But number
he has the more really interesting compromising one, photos of Reese. So
maybe.
Like, yeah.
The one that actually kind of surprises me is that they weren't already using Battle Ready. I thought they were. I thought that was a thing since the basically Space Marines 2.0 and 8th edition, and everyone was just bringing like just a rainbow coalition of Space Marines, and Reese was particularly upset by that. I thought they went to Battle Ready then. So I guess I'm just wrong.
I will say though, this is only for 40k AOS kill team and Underworlds. So continue airbrush jizzing for Old World, Epic Imperialis, and
Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah, Song of Ice and Fire.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That'll look extra good on those miniatures.
Well, I think, Crypt Shadow, you said, but what about my gray color scheme? Well, because we have our expert panel of tournament players, judges, and streamers, I figured we would talk about is this battle ready? And I'm going to have you show you three examples. Okay. And Danny, as a future legal genius mind in the United States of America, you need to tell me. You need to tell me. Yeah, that certificate's an extra $25. He's not paying that.
No, I don't even know if I'm going to have the. Anyway, I'll tell you.
You need to tell us, Danny, why this model is battle ready standard. Val, you can say what you want. You can make fun of it. You can be accurate about it. But Danny, you have to defend this model.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, let's just see the first model. Well, first off, what are we looking at here?
So, John, to our audio listeners, what we're looking at here is very basically painted Rubric Marine for the Thousand Sons. Mm-hmm. John, I would say this model is not battle ready for one particular reason.
Glaring.
There's no base. It's not based.
But we only like based things on this show.
Hold on. It's true.
Okay, so understanding the assignment completely that you have to defend this as battle ready.
Yeah. Okay. So all right. No, I got it.
Okay.
I got
okay.
It.
Okay.
Switching sides here. Okay.
Oh, we got a throat clear.
Well, John, this model is battle ready because it is painted the colors that you might see on the model if this were, say, a ghost. Now, we don't know where he's located, and it looks to me like this model is based due to paint being on the base, and it could be a representation of the warp. I'd have to ask the owner of the army whether or not that was the case. It could totally be that way, or some kind of white, pallid-ish looking kind of a planet. You know, I mean, that color scheme exists in nature, I would say, but this ghost definitely does. I mean, look,
his could be ectoplasm.
Painted a different color. Mm-hmm. His tabard is painted a different color. He's got the red eyes. Mm-hmm. Details are picked out. He's nicely painted, I think, otherwise. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I have one thing to say to that. Is...
Thank you.
Perfect. And then Falcon Hunter, just say, if only the rim was painted, it would be perfect. And by the way, great A work saying that's just some warp shit on the ground. That was just fantastic. But as we go along, this gets harder. So again, Danny, understanding that you must defend this model as battle ready.
I'm ready, John.
Dickie, bring up your next model. What are we looking at,
Danny? Oh, boy. Okay, well, this is obviously a member of the variant scheme of the Storm Wardens chapter. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them. That's one that was created for the role-playing games that Fantasy Flight did. And they were kind of the premier Space Marine chapter. Now, this model here is converted as well. Don't forget that there is no backpack. It's a slimline version of this particular model.
Slimline. Prone to overheating.
For speed, he's built for purpose, John. You can see that this model for an hour and a half
before the battery dies without the power pack.
John, this battle is a race against time, and nothing exemplifies that more than this model. You can see that the arms are painted in several different colors of gray, and the torso and legs are beautiful shade of blue. Are those representing the Storm Warden's home world, known for its beautiful blue oceans.
Perfect. You don't want to be across the stand from this man. He can make anything sound good. Falcon Hunter, it just needs a two washes and it's good to go, but then it's five colors, and that's too many for these events. Danny, our last model that you need to defend is battle ready. Feel free to describe it on the way out, is these guys here.
What a creative use of an otherwise wasted material. You can see here we've got some...
There's a lot of bases, though.
Oh, you mean the 3D modeled bases representing a fissure in the ground? These ones are fearlessly crossing into volcanic wasteland? Yeah, makes total sense. Anyway, these Necron models are really great. What they've done is they've kind of modeled them in a stage of reanimation where they haven't quite coalesced into an actual physical form and are still kind of blocky polygons. But as time goes on, these guys will eventually become Necron warriors. I especially appreciate the detail of the fez on each model. Looks excellent. It's not just a head. It's not just a head, but it's a head with an ornament, and it's beautiful. Hold on, one more thing. I'd also like to point out the anatomical detail that's been put into these models, as one of the models appears to have the beginnings of a six-pack and either pecs or breasts. It's hard to determine, though, based on resolution here.
You know, if it's
I feel like this is the PlayStation 1 Warhammer tabletop army right here.
This is tabletop simulator back in the Apple Macintosh days.
This is Mech Warrior. This is Mech Warrior like 2 here. I think that's the graphics we're seeing. Yeah.
Oh, Danny.
Beautiful polygons.
Blew it away. Really, that's fantastic. Let me just crop this a little bit. Well, screw it.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So we know where Article 1 of the new Code of Conduct came from. What affront to the hobby was so devastating that they felt like they had to raise? What was there something specific that happened?
The models on the top table, some of them were like really bad three color minimum.
Are we talking neon green grav tank? Like
it wasn't like unpainted. It was just like Thousand Suns that were painted all black with like one blue shoulder pad.
Got it.
And like classic. It did not look good.
No. Yeah. Amazing. Danny, this one here, this is the gift that keeps on giving.
Okay.
We're going to talk about this one here. This one died, Danny. This picture, this is near and dear to our heart. It won't go away. Describe what we're seeing in this poorly cropped picture.
God bless. Now, this is something I love.
So one time at a tournament in Alaska, a good friend of mine, Kevin, was playing Death Watch, and he was facing off against knights on this table. And what he's done here, which is just beautiful,
so cool.
He's hidden his entire army inside of a ruin. Also placed all three of his executioners, repulsor executioners, since they have fly, on the very tippy top of the ruin, balancing them super precarious. By the way, I would be afraid to put one single model up there like that, but this absolute madman has placed all three.
See, if the standard was battle ready, you wouldn't have the opportunity for just strokes of genius like this.
You know,
because you'd be too afraid of your fancy models dropping because of the neglect of the hobby. That allowed for the tactical ingenuity to manifest itself on this old school unraveled felt table.
They're actually decently. They're Death Watch, so they're supposed to be all black like that. And then the little guys actually do have all the shoulder pads. I swear to God, Kevin does like some real hobby, I promise.
And I believe but I was there.
I don't think those repulsors were fully cooked yet. Necessarily. Yeah,
you might be right.
You're on the way. I believe I saw him positioning this, and this took quite a bit of his deployment time, is making sure that they sat. And then also the really just the size of the balls in him to not only put them along the top, but to put a unit in the very bottom corner of a building. You know,
you're going this.
Chef's kiss. But I saw that come up yesterday on Facebook. This is clear, what, 4 years ago now, Danny? Three, 4 years ago?
Yeah, it must have been.
Beautiful time.
Memes don't die. Finally,
the good 2024, guys. Like, that could have been 5 years ago.
Jeez, yeah.
God damn.
I don't want to think about that, honestly. The Goonhammer Open, I can't talk at all tonight, apparently. Goonhammer Open was last weekend, and Hellstorm Mikey did a bunch of streaming for it, as always. And he advertised it with this very realistic photo of himself and Taylor Swift commentating. Now, I'm going to ask everyone here, if you had to name a dream stream team, play-by-play, color, and a field reporter, who's your guys' combo?
I know what my combo is. It's got to be my co-hosts on that old board, Adam Camilleri, Peter the Falcon, like just a dream team. Like one's the fastest talker you've ever heard. Basically, the guy who did the Micro Machine commercials. The other guy is just
that joke is perfect for genius
and insightful inquiries like the whole way. Like just a great combination.
Nice. You guys concur?
Well, considering that is the team I did put together to cover my last LVO, and I did consider it a dream team, I would say that was very appropriate.
Who is an underrated commentator for 40K?
That body pillow that's in that picture with Mikey. I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's what that is.
Underrated.
Yeah. Like who does commentary that you've heard where you're like, oh, they're pretty good?
Joe.
Oh,
Joe, just the most successful war game streamer on the internet.
Yep. And you know what? If you make a donation, he makes you feel noticed.
Yeah.
That's true. Crip Shadow in chat, by the way, saying Robin Williams and Rodney Dangerfield, which I think would
be, oh my god, that would be amazing.
That's lot of cocaine.
Wow, yeah.
Canada. Like there's never been a production budget big enough to handle the drug habits of either of those guys in their prime.
There's no face cam on that stream.
That's a thinker, John. I keep going to like a Jeff Robinson and like Adam Camilleri together. That would be
great.
Fucking hilarious. I think Paul and Adam were some of my favorites. I've often told Paul that I'd come out of retirement if those guys would stream together, and they did, and I didn't come out of retirement, so I don't know what happened. there's a lot of really great. We had recent Frankie. That was like,
oh man, that was for the walls though. The dead air on some of those broadcasts was just incredible. Yeah. Actually, Jeff Robinson and Frankie was a hilarious duo as well.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Because Jeff was a pro and he could keep Frankie going or not. He would just go on his own and sometimes just leave. That was great.
Mark Murphy's right. Jack Harps did do a really good job on Joe's stream last year. This year.
Awesome. There's some great commentators out there. And literally, I think 80% of them are located in Danny's other podcast, Old World Charm.
Well, yeah, actually, yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah. Moving on, our slide show's a little messed up this week because of the way I made it wrong. So if you want to go down one here, Diggy, I want to verify before we just go forward again.
Oh,
probably if you want to keep it on the screen, that mean I could tell what was there.
My God.
Yeah, we can move on past this one. This was
what happened? That guy just came out of the dip. Like that's clearly a model that was being stripped. And
This is what the woke players want to give you, by the way. This is what happens when liberalism is let into 40K.
Welfare state.
I'm mounted.
Look what your free healthcare hath wrought.
No, this right here is American healthcare, my friend.
Yeah, for sure. Last week, two new models were revealed for 40K, and a bunch of really cool ones I didn't pull model images for Blood Bowl, which, by the way, I'm buying that set so I can have a missile launcher shooting a fox. But this Big Mac here is a brand new model for the orc range. So before we get to your guys' thoughts on this, I'm going to ask real quick, did orcs need another character?
I just want to know, did 40K need another exoskeleton? Because it's getting a little carried away. Does every faction have one now? It's pretty close.
You feel like this is just a looted centurion?
Maybe. Or maybe it's kind of the thing where the orc
armor gone. I don't know.
Saw the centurion and was like, I want to make that. And this was what he made, except it was open front and not the back.
He's got pretty standard orky, like bionic leg type things, though. Like it looks very orcish. And although it is kind of a Dr. Octopus thing going on with one of the arms. I don't know. Yeah. I don't like the new faces on orcs.
I was going to say this here, Dickie, if you want to skip down to the slide of the Auroch, apparently two slideshows merged together, which just caused mass chaos. There we go. This is one of the old like swamp orcs from Age of Sigmar that came out with the last edition. Mm-hmm. And something I noticed about the face is it was really similar to kind of the new AOS orc aesthetic or Uruk aesthetic.
Uruk.
Really?
Also,
you say Uruk, I say Uruk.
I also love that there are three different spellings of orc for the Warhammer universe, which is hilarious, but
one for each copyright. But yeah, Danny, Val, do you think this is just kind of an evolution of the aesthetic of the orc range, kind of moving away from the old
Brian Nelson style?
Brian Nelson, yeah, thank you, Sculpts, that kind of revolutionized the way orcs looked in the 40K universe.
Yeah, I mean, this fits in very well with the way the Beast Naga boys or whatever looked. That sort of, but he has more of a nose. He has like a pointed nose. He's not a pig nose. This guy's very different, actually, kind of in his face. He's very humanoid looking in his face shape. Crazy about this?
No, I like it. He doesn't have an underbite, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, and I missed that part, like the teeth protruding. I mean, I really like, I don't know, I like that part of orcs, but.
Yeah, Aaron in here saying they had to rip off Tolkien again, which, of course, Tolkien famous for his exoskeleton orc warriors.
Right. Yeah. And his production design on the Peter Jackson Lord of the Ring movies.
Moving on to the next miniature that was previewed in this horrible slideshow that just kind of, keep, there we go.
Okay. This guy's fucked up.
Two of my slideshows merged together in a wonderful, fun time. My notes for this is this fucking guy.
Why is this a screen cap from the painting phase?
No, that's another slide that's behind it, because the last week's slideshow and this week's slideshow merged together in an infuriating marriage of harmony.
Got it. Okay. No problem. Yeah. This guy's a bit squatty. He's a bit weird. He seems to be.
Okay.
What's going on here? Why does he look weird?
Look at his pose. Like, it's really unnatural the way he's standing. He's got like the L shape, like with where his feet are pointed. And that feels really weird. He feels very chunky and like fat.
Squat.
Yeah.
Danny DeVito.
Sherman coming in chat saying he's too wide, which I think the pose doesn't do any favors on.
Right. And the spear is also like chunky.
That's good.
Like chunkier than a normal guardian spear, who has like actually like a kind of, you know, like a halberd like tip to one side of it. And this thing has to be on both sides and like they both have to be sharp or whatever. But I don't know. It just doesn't look right.
I wonder if the helmeted version was the main photo, if it would look as weird. I don't know.
With his head being bigger.
Do you think that this is just sort of another example of GW taking awful photos of their miniatures. It's kind of like a running theme where we do get these preview models out in pictures and they look just god awful from the picture. But when you see the model, they're actually pretty nice.
I'm willing to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. There is something off-putting about it, though, for sure.
Yeah, he's a little chode.
Yeah, he's weird. He's strange. I don't like him. No. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it fits right. Maybe it is just a bad picture. That is really possible. Like, that's happened to us a bunch of times where, like, Games Workshop has sent us a miniature early.
It's just a bad photo. I look great.
No, like in my hand, I'm like, this is dope.
This is my worst angle. Don't worry.
Straight onto the camera, my worst angle.
Oh, guys. Yeah, these are coming soon, obviously, with the release of the next Orc Codex and the next Custodes Codex. But while we're waiting for that, let's go around the net for a little bit. That was a very nice level in that. That came as nice, soothing music in my ear at the time.
Not bad.
Jokes.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to Around the Net, the part of the show
where we only took you a year.
Deep into the dang drivel the internet provides. And this week, we're just going to go through some because I want to play a couple more games. Starting off with this guy here. Happy 30th birthday, Warp Spiders. This week saw the 30th anniversary of the release of the original Warp Spiders, now making them, until the Old World came, the oldest Games Workshop miniature available. Thankfully, the Old World came and the skeletal horses took their mantle back before it could any kind of damage. Danny Valdicky, what did the Warp Spiders do for their birthday?
Complained about their back.
They thought about just how much longer it was until they could run for president.
If they're in America, another 48 years. Moving on, I got to send this excerpt of a Ben Counter Black Library novel. With the very unfortunate phrase, isolation cum interrogation chamber, highlighted here. Guys,
why do they keep doing this?
Please describe this interrogation technique.
Well, it's part of the IVF process. It's banned in Alabama.
This interrogation, not okay in Alabama. Oh, fantastic. Well, let's skip on down.
Yep. That's unfortunate punctuation, John. That was the mistake there.
What was the amazing League of Votan weapon?
The mining cum weapons.
I'm a 40-year-old man.
Very high velocity there.
We're going to jump on down here, Dickie, to slide 20, and feel free to delete the picture in the background that's showing up on so many of these in the most unfortunate way.
Spiky Bits, jokes, John, I really needed that this week.
You're welcome. Spiky Bits drives engagement through very specific headlines and title and designed to just pull you in to read the full thing. I've picked three Spiky Bits articles, and what I want you to do is look at the title and the thumbnail. You guys need to tell me what that article is about. I know this is a safe game because I know neither of you have been there.
Nope. Certainly not. Yeah.
Definitely not.
First one we're looking at is this guy right here. This is. Nope. Slide 20. Oh, yeah. I want to say if you guys watch Red Letter Media, last month they did a Nerd Crew episode of Madam Web. Oh, my God. That just gave me horror nightmares of doing a live broadcast. It was fantastic.
Oh, that's 20.
Go down two. Perfect. All right, there we go. So this article here, Games Workshop just brought back their old paywall again.
That says bought back.
Oh yeah, Games Workshop just bought back their old paywall again.
Makes it even more mystifying.
With a picture of a Khorne Berserker and an Ultramarine. For this one, I guess, about how much did the paywall cost GW when they bought it?
Probably not much. Miserly company.
Yeah,
that's true. This is confounding. Was it a typo? Or
I have to just assume that it was a typo. Like, I mean,
right? I'm going to say it's about the app.
Pretty close. Oh,
man, that's Nikki, really good.
If you want to jump up to, because we're all kinds of out of whack right here for some unknown reason. This is all over the place today. The picture of the white dwarf cover. Just flex, they bought the paywall, so you don't have to. It's good. It was from a... It was the rules for the Rogue Trader kill team in 40K have been updated and put in the new issue of White Dwarf and won't be on the app again for several months. That is the paywall that those models are put behind.
Is it White Dwarf?
The White Dwarf.
The original paywall. Fucking a magazine.
Amazing. The next one, we are going to go down. God, this is awful. I'm so sorry, Dickie. We're going to go down to the slide right after the first one. It has a picture. Well, in fact, nope, we're not going to go there. We're going to go to this is awful. I hate this. Okay, show me what you got on your screen. It won't work.
Here.
Down.
Yes.
Perfect. Up.
Up.
Yeah, the wild 1960s toy that inspired the Lehman Russ tank design. There's no way this can go wrong because I've already showed you the answer. What was this about?
This is a Spiky Bits article?
It is.
Where are the ads?
Oh, I cropped it. Very cropped them out.
I'm going to say that this is an article about the wild 1960s toy that inspired the Lehman Russ tank design. I'm just, maybe this is the first Spiky Bits article that actually has a title that describes the article.
Yeah. Well, yep.
Then. John, this is going to be, it can't be that. I have no idea what toy, what do they know about 60s toys?
Well, let's see it. This, come on, because when we go to hopefully the next slide directly down, and then I'm going to quit this dang game until next week when I can sort out the slideshow, is these. This is the World War One playset tanks made by Remco in the 1960s.
Yeah. Huh.
They're 6.5 inches long, 3.5 inches wide, and probably will give you cancer. they actually fire the shell about 7 feet from his test fires. Danny, Val, I don't know about you, but I am shocked that GW based its war game vehicles on wars.
Just say, like, this is just this is a Mark One tank with an anachronistic turret on top. I don't think that's particularly, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily stolen. Also, neither of these are World War One tanks. They're both figments of someone's imagination.
Oh, Nurgle Matt coming in with the perfect piece of advice. Trick is to put them in order, referring to the slides, which I think on that note, we're going to drop down to our eBay prices. Riot, redacted. Oh,
please work.
I already checked it out. Joke's on you. I checked ahead to make sure that these slides were right.
All right. And what's happening there?
They are. Well, Val, this is a mosh pit. Okay. It happens at a lot of metal concerts and events.
It's I thought it might be Tangled Limbs of an Orgy or something.
Oh.
Could be. It could be. We are that kind of left-leaning show, that's for sure. But this week,
positive.
Price is redacted. We're getting ready to test your powers of fiscal evaluation. When I searched eBay for the term metal Warhammer.
Okay.
Therefore, the scene of the metalheads. Crypt Shadow, that's incredibly mean, but incredibly funny. The price is right. Forget about that. New game, the slides are right. That hasn't worked in the last few years. It's not going to work now. So I went through eBay for sold items that came up when I searched for metal Warhammer. And the first one we have right here And Val, as our returning champion, you get the honor of going first. Probably it's been a while. You get the honor of going first. We have a sealed
Azurial
Vet.
We got a back.
Elder Ooh, Lord, Edel Rare, Citadel Ravager, Nib.
So
Nib, so, eh? Were we new in Shrink?
Oh, oop.
Look at that box isn't even good.
We got some Shrink on there.
Shrink on there. I will say probably the people buying those just buying it for the slave girl so they can make little molds out of blue tech.
I have tons of them, actually. A Praetorian army, I came with a bunch of them for some reason.
Very chivalrous.
I'm going to go, I don't know why, it just came to me, this is going to probably be way over, but I'm going 240. Ooh.
240.
Yeah. John, did you say chivalrous?
I did.
All right, awesome.
Don't worry about
240
it.
For this thing?
240 for that thing.
New in box, baby. New in shrink. Azurable Vect.
Oop and Nib.
Ooped and Nibbed.
No. Yeah, he's so ooped. Hyper Nibbed.
It's probably $100. I don't know.
No, I got to say, do I think it's more than 240? That's the real answer. No. So then I should just guess 239.
Oh, wow.
Are we going old school rules? Are we going old school rules again?
Closest.
Oh, now we've had complaints about it, but yeah, the actual answer was. Oh, Dickie, you have to delete because it's not even hooked up.
Come on,
drum roll!
Oh, come on, man!
Oh no, I can't!
Amazing! It was $567.68,
folks.
5, 6, 8, 7. Why are your? Oh God, it's all going wrong, Dick. You're gonna have to help out a little bit here. It's all good.
It's all going wrong.
It's all going downhill. It's not technology, people. It's me. It's all me. So Val, you won that one. So moving on to the next one here.
I did not think that I was lowballing it 240.
Ignore the beautiful orc in the background. Ignore the beautiful orc in the background. We're talking, in fact, about 40k Space Marine Dreadnought Original Metal Oop. Old Hammer Limited Second Edition, new in box.
No,
I bet there's even a sticker sheet banner in there.
I bet there is.
But the question is, actually, there's several from the looks of it. But how much did someone pay for it?
Am I leading off on this?
You are leading off.
$87.
$87. Danny, how much are you betting?
This is also Nib.
This is also Nib.
Yep.
It is.
Yeah, box a little beat up though.
All right.
A Nib and Oop.
This model. Yeah, okay. $69.
$69. Nice.
Yep.
Well, the correct answer was actually $284.70. Diggy, don't worry about it. Just gonna roll with it with me yelling it out loud.
You just see it on the screen or it doesn't happen.
We'll do it on post.
No, we won't.
$284.70
for that's that boy. Fucking 30. Shocked. Not only was it $284.70, but that was 37 bids. That was like heated.
People really wanted that.
People really wanted that. Speaking of things, that was frothy. People really want to maybe help you out a little bit here
about something. Dickie, on the fly, saving the show.
Is a model range that I know you're super passionate about, super knowledgeable about with your recent adventures. On January the 22nd, 2024, how much did someone pay for Warhammer Fantasy Chaos Dwarfs?
Oh, no.
Sorcerer on Lamazu.
Lamazu. Oh, this is going to be pricey, and it's a nice paint job.
Oop. Nope. We'll say the picture on the right is how it was sold. The picture on the left is for people under 40.
Okay.
I'm aware of multiple.
It was just sold without the rider. Oh no, it does have the rider. I see him now.
Does he? Does he have the rider?
Yeah, he's the little guy in the bottom.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Well, he's got that cool pose going on.
So
the other day in a bits box, and I was like, "What are these from?"
I know. Like a lot of this shit's going for bonkers prices right now. I'm going $225.
Oh, that's a good guess.
225. Dickie, you don't do that yet.
No, I'm not going to do it yet. I'm just waiting.
Two, All right. I think it's 240.
240. Well, the actual answer for this one is
Are you just
waiting? 253.
Good
one, Danny. Good one, Danny. Damn it. I love this game.
And 7 cents. Whew. Thank you, Luke Mitchell, 91. That model's older than you are. 100% on your rating, though.
Yeah.
Is it older than a warp spider?
Yeah.
That's good.
It's close.
Going to be next week's game is I'm going to show you miniatures and you're going to tell me if they're older than a warp spider or not. Damn, that's good. Write that down.
On the whiteboard.
All right. So our next one here is a little bit of a bad guy collective. The one on the right is what's sold, which is the Enemies of the Imperium box set containing all of your favorite friends, Drukhari to Necron to Chaos alike. And then represented on the left is a picture of what I believe they look like out of the box. Just a great family.
Yeah.
Okay. But, Danny, how much does someone pay for Enemies of the Imperium?
John, as you know, six supervillains can be a family. I think that
what about seven? Because there's the Necron Lord there, Karn.
Yeah, I said supervillains, not superheroes, John.
Oh, fair. And including the Necron.
Anyway, so I'm gonna say I don't think this one is that much. I don't think it's worth that much.
Okay.
I think this one went for $70.
$71.
$71. Oh, right in there. And the actual price for this box set of family.
Locking in the win here.
$315.95.
I was not going to, like, even if I was taking a real guess, I was not going to $315.
Wow.
Holy shit, people. It's the new in box stuff, man. It's the sealed box collectors are psychotic.
Why?
They're crazy games. People.
Yeah, it's just
there's not even great. In there. That's good.
No, and
John, I saw that on the shelf at Bosco's for years, and I was just like,
why?
It was on sale for like $20.
Because Danny, Bosco's has it all.
That's right.
The more expensive the balance. I do like every single character from this box has been replaced with a far superior version.
It has nothing to do with that. It's the new in box collectors, man. They're fucking the psychopaths. What they think is going to happen. Like,
at no point after seeing the new Abaddon model would I look at that old squatty little piece of shit and be like, man, I wish I could have that one again.
If anything, the new Abaddon model probably made this more valuable because they don't make that one anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Messed up. The Fabulous Bile, though, that is a beautiful model. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah,
I remember when that came out.
They didn't even change it that much for the new one, and they didn't have to because like they nailed it first time pretty much.
They just updated the scale pretty much.
Yeah.
They kept the model virtually the same, just made it more delicate.
Gorgeous. And another one for a little bit of old world charm, maybe a little square based fun.
Oh, God. Oh, no. New inbox.
Uh-oh. Games Workshop, Citadel, Warhammer, Dwarf, Thorgrim, Grudge Bearer, Unthrone, Metal. Oop.
All right. I'm very interested in this because I actually have one of these new in box.
Well, you can't win at this game, this. Danny, but maybe you can pay for a robe.
$300.
Danny.
Bell Although it doesn't have the good, it doesn't have the good artwork on it, but. Yeah, I'm a 300. Although, has it been opened? What's the picture behind?
That is last week's slide forcing itself into this week's show.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not worried then. Okay. All right, 300.
300. Danny.
Dwarf fetishists out there.
Yeah, God, they love this shit. Even though it's so dumb.
Yeah.
Very dumb, but it's also Kim Larry,
coming in with talking about you. This is my wife's army. All right, I'm going to say $320.
I will say, did you say that was your wife's army?
Yeah.
My wife's Necron army came in really handy last year when I decided to switch to Necrons. Wow.
Oh, hey, look at that. Weird.
Yeah. It's whenever I tell my wife that she's getting an army, it's just really a layaway program for a future project. For me. But this model was in fact $322.66.
Actually, I think that what did you guess? What did you guess, Danny?
$320.
You guessed $320? Oh, good job.
When he owns the model, he knows perfectly well how much it's going to be.
That's crazy.
That is. You know what's crazy?
That's U.S. dollars, too. That's like a fuck. That's a lot of money.
I went out to the pre-order line on Saturday for some old world stuff. Got my Bretonians reinforced a little bit.
Yeah. Nice.
All sold out before I could actually do anything.
Really?
Jeez. Huh. Wow. I got the Green Knight because, of course, you do.
Yeah.
And I got the really, really ugly Lord because he's just.
Oh, the Catman?
I got the man because he reminds me of the lawyer from Always Sunny because it looks like he has fake hands on to make his hands look bigger. Oh, and then so yeah, I got.
You
those got? Two,
but, wait, hold on. I just zoned out a little bit. Did you just say that you bought the fucking Lord?
I did.
Oh my from god!
The vault. It's from the vault. Val is going to make
from
it
the millions. Back of a drawer.
Forgot about him for good reason.
Behind some old gummy bears and fucking probably some licorice candy or some shit.
I went on with the intention of buying the Knights of the Realm on foot because that kid is amazing.
Yeah,
a trebuchet because it's a trebuchet. And the Green Knight, because that's like one of my all-time favorite models. Trebuchet, out of stock almost immediately. Knights of the Realm on foot, out of stock almost immediately.
Really? I was lucky in Canada, dude. There's a whole bunch.
Green Knight was $40, and I refused to pay for shipping. So I needed to get that $65 number somehow. And that somehow was a very large hand. Strange.
Old banana hand himself.
Old Edward Flipper Hands.
So I'm very excited. Yeah, I'm actually pretty hype about painting him just because if it looks like a crappy paint job, I'm like, it's the model. And people will be like, yeah, it's a pretty bad model.
So just we'll make sure it's battle ready, John.
Oh, no. Yeah. Old World isn't a part of that. It said on the thing.
That is just, also true.
It just said 40K AOS, Kill Team, and Warcry.
Well, at the 2025 LVO, which I may or may not go to. I think the square based standard runs battle ready, and I'm saying I think, and it's something I wrote, so I'm not quite sure. But
I'm trying to read what that standard is, but it keeps being removed from all the Facebook sites.
We'll see.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Actually, I got a call kicker.
You're like, buddy, we're gonna talk about your battle standard.
I moved some BAO tickets for him, I'm pretty sure. So maybe I can get a little square bass Brandon on that somehow.
You got to let me know how it goes with a company that's very in deep with Games Workshop for their largest tournament, getting your co-host involved in branding at one of their events.
We're apparently listened to, maybe on the other side of the wall. You never know.
Listen. Yes.
just one.
The marketing department is very different than the departments that do things. I'm just saying.
Just one person crying in a cubicle because they have to listen to both Grimm and Squarebase because they have the Val Heffelfinger account.
There's someone who spies on me. That's giving everyone involved far too much credit. Myself and anyone on the other side. I think they've got other things to do.
Luckily, tonight we
including find old metal models in the backs of drawers.
I just want a trebuchet. Please, just do me a favor. When you put stuff up for pre-order, have more than 7. I know it seems like not a lot of people want it, but it's a trebuchet. So I don't even know the rules for it. I haven't read the book. I want it.
It's a pretty model. I played with it last weekend, right, Simon?
Yeah. I do have 2 of them. You did use one of them.
Yeah. It almost hit a few things. So that was pretty good.
Oh, War Machines in Old World are basically dead on arrival. They're not very good.
Yeah.
That makes me want to run them more. Danny should have let you know about that.
I think they're okay.
Well, that's luckily our little comment section ran very long, so I didn't have to try and translate how a slideshow works when it doesn't. So that was very helpful. So we'll be back next week with an enlarged around the net when I finally figure out how to actually work PowerPoint, which embarrassingly enough, I have about 20 hours of training now at work because they keep on offering it for free. I just don't use any of it. Before we head out, though, starting on the far left with Danny, plug your stuff. Remember, Daddy Adam's in chat, so he's watching you.
Yeah. You got the money in chat. You better be good.
Yeah, he's watching me. He's watching me make sure I say the right thing. Hey, come out, check out Orwell Charm, wherever fine podcasts can be found, and also ours. And then you can hear about, hold on, I'm moderating his comments right now. I could hide this if I want to. He says, don't fuck up, Danny. Come check us out. You can join our Patreon. The first half of the episode is free to listen to for everyone. And then if you really like us, you can join our Patreon and catch the second half of the episode where we riff on stuff and talk about what we're doing and the kind of stuff that we're learning and stuff like that.
So totally worth $5.
Yeah, very monarchist of you.
I was so proud of 9.2. The edit job I did on 9.2. Oh,
thank you.
Something unbelievable, and it's worth the $5. I think
Dickie is our editor, so he makes it sound just as nice as this.
Don't say that. You want people to subscribe to you.
It's the same system, but
oh, that's nice. Adam in chat saying, "I'm going to write you a goddamn script."
Well, as Old World Charm's first patron, it's pretty good. I definitely enjoy the show quite a lot. What's the topic this week?
That was 9, Danny. So you're a week back.
Oh, man.
I know it dropped today, but I actually haven't had a chance to listen to any podcast today.
So it wasn't the tournament recap episode, was it? I think it was.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. So I know we talked about that the second half of the episode. And then the first half of the episode, I think we talked about, we didn't do USRs because that was in between episodes.
Getting your models in the game and then patron Q&A.
Oh yeah, I think it's USRs and Magic Armor, and yeah, the event recap as well.
That's like a spike. That's a spiky bits title. What the hell is this episode even about?
So we talked about how to like use models from other systems or things like that, like convert them to be able to use like their bases on square bases now, which is hard sometimes. Like some of the AOS models don't fit 100% right, and
I like the idea of if I had an AOS army, I would rebase, but I'd rebase to like a square that fits in a circle because all of the Old World bases are smaller than the circles.
Yeah, unless you're a troll.
Oh.
No, this still works. 40 millimeter fits inside of a 50 millimeter.
Do you think it does for sure?
Yeah. Why wouldn't it?
I don't know.
Guys, do you think we only have one co-host here with an Old World theme podcast? No.
You'd be wrong.
In fact, I would laugh at you. We got two. Well, Heffelfinger. How's things going over in Square Base?
All three.
We recorded this morning. We did a show on. What did we do the show on? We did a show on my RTT review, and we also talked about sort of like broad, very very high level list building things, like shockers, like bring a level 4 wizard, which I don't think a lot of people realize how absolutely crucial that is yet. At least in my little RTT.
Yeah. And dude, like that's such good advice. And like, I'm to the point now where because of this, like on the units that I really want to make sure I get to do stuff on, I'm
Magic Res
resistance.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If it's not a level 4 wizard, it's like, okay, well, then what's your alternative plan? Like you got like, that's just the easiest one, but right. Like maybe it's both actually. Right. Like I was looking at Magic Res on my Black Orcs. And having the like reroll dispel on one of my shamans. So like it's like serious business.
Hey guys, keep it going. I can't afford the paywall behind Old World Charm. So this is really helpful for me.
Well, this will all be free. We'll probably publish that. That one will publish on Thursday. Today we dropped one. I did my first solo edited and released episode of Squarebase. It was a big day for me. And it was an interview with the developer of Warhol, which is a really, really amazing way to play online, unless you're Dickie, in which case you get very upset.
You gotta get Exiles in there, Warhol.
Exile's not in there yet, but I think we crashed their server, which was great. I think they had so much more. They had so much more people logging in that they had to buy more server space, which is exactly what I hope for, because the dev obviously has poured his heart and soul into it, and is a really nice guy, and it's a really great thing. So Warhol.eu. It's
amazing how well it works. This
it's
week,
really good.
While you guys were podcasting, I was tidying up a hobby space, and I found this guy here.
Little, what is that?
That is a limited edition.
Oh yeah,
Medicaid for the Horus Heresy.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I found one built unpainted and one new in blister. Maybe we're
fire that up on eBay.
Maybe we're new at eBay Price is Right Stuff John Wants to Sell edition.
Yeah, John, what dream was that?
What was that?
What dream army was that?
No, it was just for my fists, for my heresy
fists. Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Back when I did it and I painted like 100 tactical marines yellow and then decided to never paint yellow again.
Yeah, that's I get it.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Thanks for bearing with us. A little late today, but that's okay. If it makes it better, I completely ruined the slideshow. So if you didn't, if you're only watching this, it went off without a hitch. It was perfect. Ignore chat. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here in Grim After Dark. You can find all of our socials and way to support us at grimafterdark.com. We will be back next Tuesdays live at 10 p.m. Eastern-ish. Mm-hmm. Around about there. And if you enjoyed yourself, of course, check out our back catalog on YouTube. Like these guys said, if you're old world curious, check out Old World Charm and also Square Based. And from everyone here at Grim After Dark, will see you.
Tuesday.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Nice.
Flawless.
Boy.
Does it work as well if it's not the letter C and the letter U?
Yeah.
It's time to step into the grim darkness, where nerds gather talking Warhammer madness. Grim After Dark, the podcast with the hosts, John, Danny, and Val, but they're not the most. Claiming to be experts, but it's all a facade. Talking about battles and dice rolls, they're all odd. Trying to sound cool with their Warhammer talk, but I'm here to expose. It's all just squawk. Nerds, everywhere I see, talking Warhammer this, like it's a decree. But let me tell you, homie, it is all just a game. In the real world, homie, we are not the same. So put down the dice, step out of the dark. It's time to live life, nerd, make your own mark. Grim After Dark, the nerd's playground. Talking Warhammer this, acting all profound. But when I listen, it's all just a bunch of noise. I love roasting nerds and their stupid ass toys. Stupid ass toys, I wanna grab them. Put my hands around the neck. Squeeze, Warhammer squeeze. Until they can't breathe again. Tell a friend, I'm out here roasting nerds again.